Welcome one, welcome all to the crossover. I am Matty G and this is Kingy. We are from Insight NBA and FBI Basketball International, respectively. Thursday night show, live. Mate, how are you, Kingy?
Good. Talk about zero prep. We literally jumped on 45 seconds ago and hit record. So this could be interesting.
I've done some prep. So much so I can drop on the truth maker out there, Noah Esunga, one of the preseason heroes of all things that popped up today. Noah is the fourth best scorer, 20 points per game, because we are here to talk about the Western Conference preseason news. We broke down the East. I actually had someone, Kingy. Oh, here we go. Comments already. Who's this one? Draft night tomorrow and ads. Well, Sean, this is why we are here with drafts on the weekend. This is also a what pick are you, Sean? Just start us off by asking the important question. You know you want to. What pick are you and who do you want to draft? Fire at that one and make sure you do drop your questions in the chat. We are streaming live on the Insight and on the FBI YouTube and on X currently for Insight, and we'll alternate it. Can you anything this week that really stands out to you that you can rip off news-wise or notes-wise? Not exactly preseason performance, but something that just stands out for you.
Let me have a look. This is where zero prep comes in. No, look, player news. Oh, look, I mean, I guess, well, not that it's really fantasy relevant, but I did see the Landry Shamet injury today. It did not look good if you saw it. It wasn't pretty. So, yeah, it was a fairly significant shoulder dislocation, separation. Yeah, I don't know what subluxation, whatever we want to call it.
All of the S words is what happened to Landry Shamet today. It was a Shamet show. Oh, look, wait a second. This is a great example of why I love this. You've got the number one pick, Sean, and you're going Wemby. Will hopefully pair with Dame and Maxey. Can you just tell me, Sean, am I in a draft room with you right now, just so I can mentally prepare for that one? I've got a number two pick in a draft. I actually just did one of our Insight leagues, Kingy. I've got number two. So I don't know who I'm going to get. I could get Wemby or Jokic, and I'm happy with that. But it's the first time this season that I've had one of these. I'm in like nine drafts. But I can tell you right now, and Sean, this is a little bit behind the scenes. Should I put in... Would someone be mad, Kingy, if I put up the industry pickup mock draft that's going on right now? Wouldn't anyone be mad?
No, I don't think so. No, no.
You don't think so?
No.
Like none of the boys? No. Okay.
Ours hasn't started yet. So I'm in the auction one. So it's obviously not a slow draft.
Okay. See, I've got a big surprise. I can't say this either. I've got a surprise trade that's coming. So I made a surprise off the rip. We haven't prepared this. So let's just share it and put it aside. So this is an industry mock, Sean. That you can see what you... So this is actually an industry one. This is guys, like we're talking Dan Titus is in here, Noah Rubin is in here, B-Dub, shout out to him, our guy from FBI Basketball. Wemby was taken, and you can see that he was paired there in this one with Kyrie and Paul George. I know that in the FBI World Cup that I'm in, that... Mm-hmm. I can't show you this one who it was paired with. Maybe I'll just go into... Can I go... Is this doing it live? I go into the draft room?
Yeah, I can see it.
So you can see it. You can see it.
Yeah,
I guess so. Here we go. Because someone's actually done that, Sean. So I can tell you how that room shakes out. Literally, here you go, mate. Someone, this guy, Macca 3006, shout out to him if he's watching. It is an FBI league. He's taken, just like you said, Dame Lillard. He's backed him up with Brunson, Quickly, Bain, Zubac, Beal, and Sexton. Oh, damn it. Sexton's gone off the board. Damn it. I was hoping Sexton was going to make it back to me, but we are up around the 90s where he's about to fall off and go from there. But there you go, mate. If you are looking for a build like that, I can guarantee you can get back on the screen share later on and give that one a bit of a look. But that's pretty much fitting your build type there, Sean. Right there, mm-hmm. Wemby, Lillard, Brunson, Quickly. You're filling out with guards. Popular strategy, Kingy, that's happened.
It is, yeah. I think anyone getting Wemby first, then sort of relaxing and not worrying too much about the rebounds and the blocks and just going hard on the guards. Because you can normally pick up a secondary center in that sort of fourth or fifth round once you get into the 50s and the 60s, guys like Jalen Duren, Rudy Gobert, Jared Allen, those guys, they're floating in that range. So, yeah, seems to be a pretty useful strategy.
I would agree, mate. Looking at the Western Conference, because I know we're going to be done and dusted tonight by 9:30. Let's start off. We'll go through alphabetic. Cheers, mate. I appreciate it. I think pairing with guards is the way to go. Also, yeah, absolutely. Kingy hit the nail on the head there, mate. Let's start off with this one. Dallas Mavericks over in the Western Conference. What do we really see happening? We haven't had much. We've only had one Kyrie. We've had no Luka.
Yeah.
We pretty much say that the Mavericks are as advertised. Apart from, are we looking a little bit buyer beware with Klay Thompson?
I wasn't buying anyway. I think if you were, yeah, look, I mean, he'll be better than this. Let's be fair.
He'll be better than this.
But yeah, I mean, he's points and threes really at this stage. He just doesn't have, since those injuries, he doesn't have lateral movement to be able to defend like he used to. Not that he was ever an elite. Well, he was a good defender. It didn't translate super well, but now, no. Yeah, like half a steal maybe. So he's points and threes. That's it. There's not a ton of upside. And playing alongside Luka and Kyrie, who are both going to get theirs, 100%. I think best case for Klay is probably sort of 16 points with 3.5 threes, and that's really it.
And some nights here will be going 0 from 9 again, or 0 from 6. Yeah. And it'll be an absolute seesaw that wise. The only thing that I've really liked is that even in the preseason, we have seen the minutes split favor Derek Lively the second. I think that's something that we can keep our eye on. He's averaging 18.9. Again, it is the preseason, but when they're in a minute share like this already, they're not going to be rolling out Lively and Gafford out terribly much anyway during the season. But this is, you could probably expect a couple more minutes for Gafford here, maybe around the 19, and that would creep up. But if that's where it's going in the preseason, I found that the most interesting. And the sneaky addition of Quentin Grimes. He was one of the things that really went underrated in that trade. I think there might be in deeper leagues a bit of value to looking at Quentin Grimes. He's definitely going to be a waiver target for back-to-backs. Obviously, Jaden Hardy is the other guy off Dallas. But I think Quentin Grimes has definitely come into my deeper league radar, mate.
Yeah, I think they both have. I think I've talked about both of Hardy and Grimes as first guards off the bench. And we know Kyrie is probably going to miss a few games. Luka will probably miss some as well. And I think Jason Kidd even came out and said that Jaden Hardy this year is going to have a pretty consistent and yep, somewhat significant role, which I love because I have him in two dynasty leagues. So, yeah, standard leagues, I don't know. I mean, if you just need points late, I guess you could take a bit of a fly. But there's quite a few guys down in that 130 to 140 range that you can get who could be 15 to 16 points a game. So, yeah, if you don't get one of them, don't stress. But, yeah, worth a look, I think.
I would agree there. We're going over to the next team in the Western Conference, the Denver Nuggets. Look, Michael Porter Jr., efficient from the field goal. He's played in three games. He's looked a little bit banged up, but still doing what he does. And we can expect this from MPJ, taking the threes, 16 points tonight in 21 minutes. We know that can go up from there. Rebounds wise, he's at 3.7, doing what he does. But I think the standout, look, Russell Westbrook has been decent in 21 minutes tonight. Definitely a late target. Can we talk Julian Strother for a second? He has been a revelation off their bench.
Yeah, he's been good. It's a shame that Peyton Watson's been injured, because I would have liked to have had a look at him through the preseason as well. But no, look, I think Strouther, he's interesting. Christian Brown is going to start. I'm fairly certain of that. But look, I mean, they've got nothing invested. Well, invested that. If Brown is struggling, there shouldn't be any hesitation in just throwing Strouther out there and let's see what he can do. So he's someone.
And he's struggling now. Brown is struggling. He's at 0.077 from three. He's taken 3.3 in 23 minutes in the preseason. So they're giving him all the run that he can. He's hitting 0.3 of them. He's not even hitting you a 3 a night off 3.5 attempts, basically. That's not very good. Field goal percentage is 355. Ugh. Yep. Yuck.
Yep. Yeah, not great. But I mean, we've seen him be better than that. So I think he will be better. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point they do decide to throw Strouther in there and see what he can do if Brown struggles for a handful of games.
Golden State Warriors this year will be, I think, a relatively, I mean, Steph came out and said that in the media, like, we just want to be competitive. We want to bring it in the West. Like, we want to do our best. They're deep. Like, this is the deepest Golden State Warriors team we've seen in a while, with a level-headed Draymond Green this season, the additions of Buddy Hield and De'Anthony Melton, who are already in deeper league radars. I think this is anything in 21 and 21.9, basically 22 minutes a night. Here's 13 points a game, which is excellent. 4.8 rebounds, 1.4 assists, but we're not seeing a steal or a block yet for Jonathan Kuminga. He's the guy that we are watching around because we want those defensive stats to come along. The free throws aren't there for Kuminga, but he's a guy who's really getting on the top 100 radar. He's just making in that between 90 and 110 zone. He's making you feel very comfortable taking him there.
Yeah, yeah, I've taken him in a couple of drafts in that range. I think I might have been going into the 80s to get him. And yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah, look, he hasn't been great. We'd obviously like to see something on the defensive end. As you said, he's literally done nothing. So
and in the preseason when people are just messing about, just grabbing some steals or rebounds or some steals or blocks.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I think you could probably make a case. Well, I don't know whether it is actually something, but if you wanted to be on the positive side of things, I think you could say that playing in the preseason is actually, it's not surprising that some guys aren't getting defensive stats because you're playing against opposition that you're not familiar with them. So like when you're playing in the NBA, you're used to a certain speed, you're used to certain offenses. So when it's all thrown out the window and teams are just doing wacky stuff, it's going to be a bit more sort of stand back and watch. So, I hope he can maybe get one, I don't know, what do we think? 1.5 defensive stats
would be nice. I'd love two. I would love 1.2, 1.4 steals a game because I think that's what he needs to do. The steals and the deflections and getting those are good. And if he could get me a block here and there along the way to average like 0.8 blocks to get me over that 2 marker, I'd be okay.
Yeah.
Especially when we know that Draymond can be the big man. If they run small ball, he'll fill into that spot as a defender down the back a lot more quickly than probably a point of attack defender. Maybe he's the point of attack defender. Maybe. But I think they will probably really use De'Anthony Melton in that spot a lot more. I think he'll be one of those guys on board. Talking about inefficient guys earlier on, let's move to the Houston Rockets, where in two preseason games, Fred VanVleet has managed to get us some social media backfire because his field goal percentage is 0.091. And so everyone is like, oh, you guys who said VanVleet is awesome, he's shit. He's only hitting half his free throws. Which he is. He's literally 500. Yeah. He's only taken 4 and he's hit 2. It does not look good on the stat sheet for him whatsoever. But the 8.5 assists in only 20 minutes a game is very, very sexy. The steal in that amount of minutes is very, very sexy. The 2 rebounds, which is something that he gets out of position, is good. And even a half a block in his position on very minimal fouls, minimal turnovers. This is why you draft Fred VanVleet, but he can be better than that offensively.
Yeah, he will be. I mean, he's never been an elite scorer, an efficient scorer. But absolutely, he'll be better than this. I do think that probably this year it might be a career best year in assists because just the talent he's got around him now, there is even less pressure on him to score. So he's not going to score a lot this year, but the steals, the assists, the low turnovers, he'll be better from the free throw line. I'm not worried about that. So, I think it's
no one regresses that heavily. No.
And yeah, look, I mean, if you're not punting points, makes it hard to draft him. But if you are punting points, which we talked about last week, is a strategy that seems to be implemented in a lot of leagues this year. Fred VanVleet is a perfect guy for that build.
Someone who you'll never be able to pump points with because he's a bucket is Jalen Green. He's just looked in 22 minutes a night like he wants to score everything. Doing Jalen Green things and not averaging even one assist a game barely one defensive stat. But this is what he does. 3-point percentage is good. Free throw percentage is up. Field goal percentage is down. working really well and efficiently with Alperen Şengün, who we love, as well, and Armin Thompson. There's going to be, I think everyone collectively in fantasy world this year, there'll be open times, Kingy, where we are streaming Houston Rockets on back-to-backs or 4 or 5 game weeks for these guys and trying to bring in a lot of these names.
I'm actually just counting through looking at all of the Rockets players that have played sort of somewhat significant minutes. And I think there's potentially 10 Rockets players this season that at some point will have standard league value.
Yep. I'd probably go 11. I'd probably just bump on 11. Oh, you know what? Maybe 10. I think it's a toss-up. I think Jock Landale is the one who could probably miss out the most there, because I even see Steven Adams getting those backup center minutes and just coming out there as the wrecking ball in the second unit. He's been...
Yeah, I actually think Adam... I mean, Landale... I don't know if Landale's been injured. He hasn't played a lot. Adams seems to have been out there a bit more, but I think Adams might be one of the more under the radar sort of additions for this Rockets team, because we know exactly who he is. He's one of the best offensive rebounders. He knows how to set a screen. He's a good facilitator. They can run the offense through him. So he's not going to score a lot. He's probably only going to play 15 to 18 minutes a night, but I just think he gives that second unit a really good foundation. And if you've watched any Rockets games this preseason, they are going to be fun. They are fast. They want to score. They're going to be really fun to watch.
And they're letting the full Jabari Smith Jr. experience come at them as well to try and develop him. Like, they're going to be a really good team. But yeah, I do think Adams is the guy. He hasn't shown us any of the defensive acumen that he has yet. He hasn't got a block or a steal in the preseason, which is kind of not what we expect from him. But super high field goal percentage, super high rebounds. Definitely a stream when you're in a tight week and you've got a back-to-back to start off your week. If you're finishing up your first week of fantasy and you've been back and you see the Rockets are coming up and got a back-to-back on the Monday, Tuesday, you're reaching for a Steven Adams very, very quickly. Someone who has reached for a lot in drafts so far for the Los Angeles Clippers has been James Harden. Talking about the Houston Rockets, because if you haven't heard, Kingy, Rockets Harden is back, obviously. Obviously, he's back. But the more impressive guy has been Kai Jones in a team-high 24.5 minutes tonight. Is this guy the backup in the Clippers now? Is he the guy?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, it's him or Mo Bamba. And I mean, we know who Mo Bamba is. We know that he can get blocks, but he's not a good defensive player. He can stretch the floor, but he's not really that reliable. So it wouldn't surprise me whether it's Kai Jones to start the year, I don't know, but he'd be one of those guys that I'd just be throwing on a watch list just in case they decide to play him over Bamba. I mean, we haven't even... Bamba must be injured, is he? I think he's Bamba.
I try not to follow him at all.
He hasn't played. I don't know whether that's because he's crap or...
It could be that. No, look, I think he might be injured. My Mo Bamba depth of knowledge isn't that big. But the thing is this, when you're playing 24.3 minutes a night and your name is Kai Jones and you're almost averaging 4 stocks a game, that's really sexy. That's really appealing to me. He's on 2.5 blocks, 1.3 steals per game, field goal percentage at 680. If you are in a punt free throw, because he's only hitting 429, he's taking 2 a game. He's basically a 50-50 from the line anytime he steps there. That's really bloody good, because Zubac has looked good out there at times. He's looked a little bit uncomfortable at times. It's a miss, but I think everyone's watching for... I think the other two names here on the Clippers that we've got in fantasy conversation, Kingy, Norm Powell, definitely in that role of like, hey, it's okay, poor George left, I'm here, my name's Norm. We could probably glean some value out of him for the Clippers. Bones Highland does one, but Kevin Porter Jr., where are you at with KPJ?
Yeah, he's looked good. I think Norm Powell probably will go up a little bit in terms of ADP since they announced today that he's going to start, probably, which we weren't sure. But if he's going to start, I think he'll be a good target. And then, I mean, it's Kevin Porter or Chris Dunn probably sort of playing as that primary backup. and both very different. So it really depends on whether the Clippers want offense or defense off the bench. But yeah, I mean, Kevin Porter has looked good. He's been scoring the basketball. He's been getting assists. So if I had to pick a last round flyer, I'd go with Kevin Porter. Because we've seen him do it before. We've seen him be fantasy relevant. So yeah, he's not going to play significant minutes, but there could come a point this season when the Clippers are just terrible and decide to ease back on Harden and play these young guys. So yeah, I don't mind him. He's intriguing.
He is intriguing. Can we just drive down the I-95 or whatever highway it is, the Route 66, whatever you want to take from the back end of the Intuit Dome into crypto.com arena, the former Staples Center. Dalton Connect, the Los Angeles Lakers. Geez, they're shooting a lot of threes. They're not good at them yet. But by all means, they're not very good at them yet. But Jesus, Dalton Connect is averaging almost 10 threes a game for the Lakers. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's the way the league's going, obviously, shooting threes. And I mean, I wouldn't read too much into it, given LeBron James is averaging 18 minutes a game, D'Angelo Russell, 24, Anthony Davis, 22, Austin Reeves, 23. So, yeah, look, I mean, they're letting him fly, and we know what he can do. Yeah, I wouldn't be drafting him or anything like that, but he's looked pretty good, I think.
Yeah, he has. He looks comfortable out there. Max Christie also, I think we need to put on our list. Apparently he was, I think we've mentioned this before, Darvin Ham refused to play him. And the front office was like, no, we've got to play him. Darvin Ham didn't want to play him. Look, this is another guy who's a young guard, can stretch the floor for the Lakers, which is something that we know that they've needed in a very, very long time. Apparently also the reason they didn't chase down Buddy Hield was because of Max Christie. They're like, well, Max Christie does the job and we're paying him a rookie salary. So we're not going to go and chase. So that was the name that was brought up. It's like, well, why would we get Buddy when we have Max? And I was like, okay, interesting. I know that's interesting to hear. Look, Anthony Davis has looked bloody lethal. He has just looked fantastic as ever. LeBron James looks fantastic. Comfortable top six pick with Anthony Davis. Obviously, after the first two blokes go off the board, you're looking at Luka and Shea. Very comfortable at five with AD Kingy.
Yeah, I took him at four yesterday in the Roto World mock and started listening to that show this afternoon. And yeah, I think they were a little bit surprised I took him over Luka, I think it was.
Were they?
But yeah, a little bit. I think just because
that was a sweaty draft.
Yeah.
That was a sweaty draft yesterday.
It was. I'm waiting to get to the whatever pick it was, 93 or something, when I took Dyson Daniels, because Noah has told me that he reacts openly on the show when I take him. So yeah, I'm waiting to hear that response.
Did you see the project? It was really hard for me to look through the teams and think about who was going to win it. Did you see projections for that, or was that a very close draft? I've got to ask that. That was a stupidly close draft. Like when I'm watching it,
was.
And I know it's an analyst draft, but this is the one that I should actually put a screenshot of. So I think was it the Yahoo one? It was the Yahoo one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'm just bringing it up now.
It was really intense, but it was really good because I think it was a lot of analysts who put their flag in the sand on guys. It was like, this is my dude and I'm going to take him. The guys like Ja Morant moving down a little bit more in analyst land and things like that. I thought it was, super competitive draft.
It was. Talking about – yeah.
So you got to bring it up when you can. Go nuts for it.
Yeah, I've got the projected standings here.
You want to share them?
Yeah, I can share it. Hang on.
How did we go, Kingy? Actually, maybe not. Can you tell me first how you went?
Yeah, so according to this, you were first, I was third.
Hey, go the boys.
Let's have a look. Share.
Here we go.
There we go. Oh, it's a bit small. Hang on. Yeah, that's bigger. There we go. So this is obviously based on me, and you can see my ridiculous punt there.
I can't. Jesus, look at you.
That's what a lot of my projections look like when I draft, because I punt three or four categories. So,
God, per projection,
I'm beating everyone 5-4, and that's my goal. So, mission accomplished.
Wait, do you even beat me 5-4?
Yeah.
Oh, you do too.
And that's sort of what I look for when I draft, when I do these.
I'm close on steals though, you bastard. I'm close. How close steals, are we? I'm going to have to stream like a son of a bitch that week.
Yeah. Oh, and look, I mean, those low volume categories, like 1.06 to 1.08, it's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. It's a Zubats throwing the ball and hitting him in the head and he catches it and there's a steal and that wins you the week. So, but no, it was a good draft. Those industry ones are always a lot of fun. So,
especially, I always like to see the percentage on the win percentage. Like, I might be at 626 there. And Papi Roy, shout out to him, at 606. So we're just over the 600s. But what I always love to see is the next group under that. And you can see that between 5.5 down to the 500. And then the drop-off is it's very small. It's very competitive. Talking about very competitive, stopping by the Western Conference Memphis Grizzlies, Kingy, these guys are going to be super competitive in the West this year. They're going to be a lot of fun. And I do not know what to make out of these guys in the preseason.
No, they're tough to get a read on at the moment.
Apart from Zach Edey, who I love. I think I just love Zach Edey.
Yeah, he's looked good. I mean, some of it's been the opposition. I know he had a really good game against, I think it was the Bulls. Was that where he had 21 or 23 or something? Look, you're against Nikola Vucevic, who's allergic to playing defense. So, I mean, I don't watch a ton of college. I watch some highlights, but I really rely on other analysts and that sort of thing when it comes to sort of breaking down the rookies, and then I'll watch what I need to watch. But Zach Edey, I think what I love about him is his hook shot or his little push shot.
You just
don't see it anymore. It's amazing. So no, he's looked good. He's obviously going to impact Jaren Jackson a little bit. I thought Desmond Bane has looked really good as well.
Yes.
In his 23 minutes a night. Ja Morant got injured, so tough to get a read on him. And then obviously they signed Scottie Pippen to a proper contract, which really good for him.
Good on him. Good on Scottie Pippen. Brandon Clark has been really good. And then not very good. And so again, working his way back into it, a full thing under his belt. No action yet from Julius Randle over in Minnesota, but we have
seen played Anthony today.
Yeah, he did play today. He played 26 minutes today, didn't he?
Yep.
I say there's no action on him apart from what we expect. So there's no action on him in my draft. There's no movement on him on my radar. He's still as advertised, but what I really was impressed with him today was his willingness to openly defer. And that's the only thing that I'm going to watch. I have no bearing on this guy whatsoever yet. But when you give me in 26 minutes, which was good for the preseason, you give me 6 rebounds, you give me 5 assists, you give me 1 steal, you get 15 points a game. I'm really happy with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think same as you. He hasn't really shifted. He's not typically someone I get in drafts. I think I might have got him in, I don't know if it was a mock or a real draft, but
they blend together.
Yeah, I think
at a point, they just the mock drafts and the real drafts at this time of the year are just
they do. I'm doing like
there's
two
no
sacred so
yeah. There's no sacred timeline. There is no sacred timeline. It's all diseased, and we're all just going to die of mock drafting by the end of it.
He's looked good. He looked good. DiVincenzo, I think, has looked good. I think. Initially, we probably thought, what's his role going to be? But I actually think he'll play a meaningful role for this team. Maybe he might hit 30 minutes a night. So, he sort of faded a little bit for me, but now he's coming back into that discussion as a late-round target.
And I was really hyped that they had a preseason game, these two teams against each other as well. Mm. I really wanted Randle play on that one, but that was really good. There was a bit of fire in him. And I love that sass from Dante. Fuck me sideways and call me spanked, Kingy. Brandon Ingram has looked very good for New Orleans. He's looking good. There's no defensive stats, which is not what Brandon Ingram's strong suit is, let's be honest. But the efficiency from the floor and from the three and three shots a game has been good. I know he's the name out there that's going to be traded, but are we drafting him more comfortably now? Because Zion's been a beast. But I'm up on Zion. But just the surprise package that is the Brandon Ingram experience, yes?
Yeah, I think so. I think you can take him in that. I mean, I don't know what his ADP is. I'm figuring it's probably in the 80s, 70s or 80s, maybe. If it is, I'm okay taking him there. I mean, even if he's traded, he's going to play a very similar role no matter where he is. No one's going to trade him to bring him off the bench. So he's going to start wherever he is, and he'll get you 18, 19 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, almost a steal, 2 threes. So, yeah, I'm not too concerned about Brandon Ingram.
I've got you a live on the spot ADP battle right here because this is a very interesting little thing that I've just found. He's actually risen back up. So people are actually off him a little bit. His lowest point, his earliest ADP data was 65.5. His lowest point was 62.8. He is now flat, bang, even 70.
Okay.
Now, for someone who's moved in from 83 down to 70.8 on the exact same run is Cam Thomas. At this point of the draft, are you taking Brandon Ingram or Cam Thomas?
Cam Thomas.
There you go.
Yeah. I just it does depend a little bit on what stats you're chasing in that sixth round range. But
I can assure you, Kingy, neither one of them is giving you defensive stats.
No. But I think Cam Thomas has far more upside in terms of scoring. And we know Ingram is going to be sort of like 5 assists best case, but now that DeJounte is there, Zion's healthy, CJ is still there, he might only give you 3.5 to 4 assists. I just think Cam Thomas is more of an unknown. Like he might get to 4 assists and 6 rebounds. Who knows? But for a guy that might average 28 points a game compared to 18, I'd go that guy.
Talking about guys that I'd go, not that way. But if I'm at the top of my draft, I'm not judging. I'm not here to judge. But I will judge you if you pass over Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and for some reason that you think that Anthony Davis is going to be better than him and he falls in your draft. Shai is in less than 20 minutes a night, looked every single bit the MVP candidate that we want him to be. His willingness, he's taken 4 threes a game in 19 minutes. Jalen Williams looks great. I am so high on the Oklahoma City Thunder. They are a fun team to watch, Kingy.
They are. Yeah, they're very fun. Shai's looked fine. They really haven't had to exert themselves at all.
Jalen Williams, not even close.
No, he's looked good offensively. Holmgren's been out there, but he barely had to do anything.
He's hanging out. Chet Holmgren is hanging out on a basketball court for 14 and a half minutes a night.
Yeah, it's not useless, but obviously you've got to get him some court time. I think Hartenstein has looked fine. Like people will look at what he's been doing and go, oh, like why are we drafting him in the sixth, seventh round? But
I'll tell you why, because if he plays 18 minutes, this is him in 18 minutes.
Yeah.
In 18 minutes a night, he is at plus 500. Now the free throws have been dog shit for him. It's been sub 500. So people see that on the volume and that's not good for him. But the 7 rebounds, the 4 assists, the steal and the block, that's really good. The thing that's hurting him right now, I think value-wise, is the turnovers. The 2.3 turnovers a game in the preseason is not great. That comes down. So this is where maybe he falls a little bit. And if he falls because of this is where he could signify some value for you, Kingy.
Yeah, he could. I mean, if people look purely at his numbers and rank in the preseason, and he's way down there, he's 250th in the preseason, then yes, maybe he falls, but he won't shoot 45% from the field and he won't turn the ball over 2.3 times. So I think you bump that free throw percentage back up to, I think, close to 70 and maybe 1.5, and that takes him up. Sort of, and as you said, this is in 18 minutes, and I think he hits 25 at least. So, double double with 5 assists, 1.2 steals, 1.2 blocks. I'll take that any day of the week.
Oh, 100%. And look, let's just hope that his free throw attempts stay down, or he just shoots it better from the line. One of the perennial favorites in the West for a couple of years there, well, for a few years there, was the Phoenix Suns. And if you think about it, they've really, after that finals appearance against the Bucks, they've really kind of just low-key undergoing a complete restructure, but just Devin Booker remains. Like, it's just one of these things where they still perform really well. And usually in these build down tear modes, you see a decline. Like, the team that makes the playoffs doesn't make the playoffs, and there's a rebuild. San Antonio Spurs, case in point. You know, we see these arching draft picks. Perennial, what are they going to be? They've brought in Kevin Durant over the last couple of years, Bradley Beal. We didn't see a lot of him. Tyus Jones in this year. Tyus Jones has looked great. The 10 points a game from Tyus Jones in 28 minutes. I love the assist are there. The steals are there. This is some really nice late value for Tyus Jones, because I think we all know that Booker and Durant and Nurk are going to do those things. But this is really us buying into the Tyus Jones experience and still seeing Grayson Allen possibly riding the waiver wire a lot this year.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly what Tyus is going to do. He's not going to score a lot, so 9 points, absolutely fine. But 2.3 triples, 5.3 assists, 1.7 steals, and one turnover. And that's exactly what he's built his career on. And that's good enough for the 25th ranked player during the preseason. So if you can get him at 120, 110, and he's a guy that can probably get a 7 assists and 1.5 steals with basically no turnovers and 2.5 threes, then that's valuable at that point in the draft.
Oh, after 100, it's just, you don't get those kind of stats just picking off the waiver wire. I know what you can pick up and drive through, and he probably had a lot of it last year, Scoot Henderson over in Portland, because he had all the food, as we've known. Scooty McBuckets is looking decent. Scoot's looked good in 3 games. I think someone's like lit a bit of a fire under him or told him, don't talk that shit again or don't get stoned before a media conference. Can you play some basketball? Mate, he's looking good, as well as one of our silly season favorites, Tumani Kamara over at Portland. What the fuck do we make of the Portland Trailblazers, Kingy?
They're not going to be very good. I think we know that. but there's definitely some fantasy value there. I think Scoot, he looked good. Today, I've got their box score up today. So it was against, I don't even know who they played. Who is that team? It must be some overseas team.
It was the overseas team where the guy called, Neon Esange, whatever his name was, is now the second lead scorer in the, third lead scorer in the preseason because overseas.
Yeah, I mean, read into what you will. But, I think Scoot's looked good. Anthony Simons hasn't been there. Shaden Sharp's not there. So, there's some things to factor in there. But he had 23 with 6 assists, 2 steals. Field goal percentage, he's not gonna shoot 70%. We know that. But, I think if you're drafting him late, again, he could be 17 points and 7 assists. And a steal. Don't worry about his percentages or turnovers because they're going to be terrible. But
I can tell you where he just went off in an industry. Was it in the industry draft or the other draft? All I know is that he went off. I was surprised to see him. No, I can tell you Jalen Green went there. I was really surprised to see Scoot Henderson go in the, I think it was the 8th or the 9th round. Because we're seeing him usually fall into the hundreds. And by the time you finish your 8th round, you're at like 97, 98. You know what I mean? So that's kind of where you would see him. But I saw Scoot go in a draft and I was scratching my head. I was like, that's early for Scoot? I'm bringing it up right now.
I know I drafted him in my trial league.
I can tell you that I had Mark Williams in my queue thinking I could get him after pick 100 again like I did in an industry draft. And that was sniped from me at pick 94. Someone's going to stash him very nicely. No, that was the World Cup. No, I think it might have been in the analyst draft. I'm going, there's so many bloody draft rooms open, King.
I know. I took Scoot at 108.
Right. Here we go. It's
in a league.
Here we go. Dan Besbris. Dan Besbris took him. Here it is. Scooty McBuckets was taken at pick 8, round 5. There you go. So take it back. We're up to 96. So 95, 94, 93, 92, 91, 90. At 89, that is the highest that I have seen Scoot. But he has got he has got Cam Thomas in there. Maybe not a lot, but he's mixing that with Trae Young as well. So you can see that he's mixing into a lot of guard action. He's got Bane in there, Jalen Williams, Don Mitchell, Trey. So he's definitely trying to focus on getting some late assist makers later on in that draft. So drafting by Besbris, getting him at 89 with that punt build is good. And the only other thing that I want to say is, I know it's the preseason, but DeAndre Ayton has taken some threes and and he's made some threes.
Yeah,
this is good. This is not bad for us in fantasy land, but a surprise to be sure.
Yeah, I think he's probably just figured it's easier for him to practice and get better at threes than it is to get better at defense. So he's
good.
He's got to add something to his game. And look, I mean, he's not a bad free throw shooter, so it makes sense that he should expand his game a bit. So, I think Ayton's looked fine. I thought Denny Avdija looked really good today.
He did.
A guy that we were sort of high on at the end of last season, and then we thought the trade, oh, yeah, this is going to be great, and then we weren't sure where he fits in their rotation. But I don't mind him. I think he might have a sneaky opportunity here. The rest of the – we know what Portland are going to be. They're going to be trashy, and they're going to run in all these – Chris Murray will play 30 minutes at some point a night and probably be 12-team worthy. Tamani Kamara will be the same. So
Boogie Ellis will get minutes down the stretch, and everyone's just going to think, wait, Boogie's back? No, it's not the same Boogie. Sacramento Kings time. Keegan Murray. Can I just say, De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis are very good. We will draft them in the same spots that we do. Keegan Murray was one of the, like, what do we do with Keegan Murray? Because we've got DeMar DeRozan. Those three guys, I think, have stability, Kingy. I think we've got stability with Fox. We've got stability with Sabonis. We can still see DeMar is going to do DeMar things. We expected good playmaking from him. He's averaging 4 assists in 26 minutes a night. He'll play 32 minutes a night. He could get up to 5.5 assists a game quite easily. Like, they're moving the ball around. Keegan Murray's spot, though, was one that we did want to watch. His three-point percentage is down, but he is still getting us 3 rebounds a game, 1.3 steals. The 2.3 steals for Keegan has been exceptional. The threes are going to be there. He's going to offer. Keegan Murray, I really like.
Yeah, he's never really been a guy that I've targeted in drafts or trades or anything like that. But I think I was sort of that opinion that with DeRozan arriving, his role was going to be questionable. But I actually think he might be okay. It really comes down to those defensive numbers, because we know that his value is built on points and threes, and he's a good 3-point shooter. So he'll get us 15 to 16 points with 3 three-pointers, and he's an okay rebounder. The difference will be, can he sort of maintain a steal a game? Can he get up to 1.2 steals or 1.3, or will he regress a little bit down to 0.9 or 0.8? That'll swing his value from sort of anywhere from top 50 down to top 90. So, but I don't mind him. I don't know. You've got the ADPs there. I don't know what his ADP is, because I haven't really...
Oh, he's got his ADPs. I know I took him right now after in a league just this morning around the back end of the 80s. I'll tell you where his ADP data is. I just wish there was a way I could sort this shit out on this one. It's just literally by ADP, and it's a mishmash. Where was Murray? He's gone to 80. So there you go. He's at 73.
Yep.
And he's at fine at 80. And I'll tell you from my own personal experience, I took him. Well, I can tell you Dan Titus took him in the 8th round today in a industry draft. So he took him as the second pick in the 8th round. So again, this is in the mid to late 80s. And I think I took him there in the other one as well. Where did I take him? I know that he was one of my last picks off the board in the FBI World Cup. We've also got to share that to the FBI World Cup in slow glacial pacer mode right now. Well, that was the name of my team last year in FBI World Cup. I called them the Glacial Pacers because we moved ridiculously. Yeah, there you go. Similar to Titus, actually. I took him in the 8th round with the first pick. So, yeah, happy with that. That's about the value that we can expect for him to round it out. The San Antonio Spurs. Look, we're seeing not a lot of the San Antonio Spurs playing basketball. Like, Wemby's just out there for 20 minutes a night, Kingy. He's still not going to be anything short of the number one pick in fantasy basketball, to be fair. What do we make around the supporting cast and how that's working with the addition of Chris Paul? Because I've really liked it.
Yeah, I think it looks good. I mean, we haven't had a massive sample size yet, but I think Chris Paul and Wemby will work really well together. As you said, it's the question marks are what do those other guys do around them? I've said, I don't know if I said it on a show or I might have said it on Twitter or something, Jeremy Sochan is sort of growing on me as a nice late round. I think drafted him twice today in one was a mock and one was a real draft. I just think playing at the power forward spot, his natural position, he's a good rebounder. He can get some defensive stuff. His percentages are decent despite the fact he shoots the free throws with one hand. he can hit threes. I just think he does sort of a little bit across the board. So he doesn't have a ton of upside. He's never going to be a top 50 player or anything like that. But he could push one top 120, top 100 even, because there's really no pressure on him. It's all about Wemby. It's all about Chris Paul and Devin Vassell. And Sochan can just go about his day and do his business, which he's very good at doing.
And Vassell is someone who we think could come return relatively soon. And so it's a really nice IR stash. And he could go off especially if you've got an IR spot, you draft him, you put him into IR, then you hit your waiver wires, and you pick up somebody else in the meantime. And all of a sudden you've got Devin Vassell sitting there and you plug and playing. You've still got Vassell at a bargain basement price because he's kind of getting a little bit forgotten about in drafts. So I think it's more like addition to your roster by subtraction from the real San Antonio Spurs roster right now, Kingy, more than anything.
Yeah, I think so.
That's our last team, apart from the one Utah Jazz. I just wish that I could get some more defensive stats from Lauri Markkanen and I'd be happy as a pig and shit.
Yeah, I don't think we will, though. We know that at this point. But no, I mean, Utah have looked good. I think they're undefeated in the preseason, which we don't. I mean, we don't pay too much attention.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when Utah was like 10-0, where they were the best team in the NBA as they started the year under Lowry?
Yeah.
And everyone was scratching their heads. And then they were fed hard. They're like, no, we're tanking. We're tanking for Kessler. We're tanking for Walker Kessler. Please don't win any more games.
Yeah.
A very clear distinction.
Yeah. And speaking of Kessler, he's looked good. He's starting. Yes. He's averaging 8 points. He's not going to be a point scorer. He might get you double-digit points if you're lucky, but 10 rebounds, 2.3 blocks, 82% from the field.
I mean,
if you can get a guy that's going to give you free throw percentage numbers from the field, I think Kessler's pushing or really firming in that range. As I said, that center range with Jalen Duren, Jared Allen, I think you could make a case to take him top 70. I don't know what his ADP is, but I think he'll push into that range.
I can look into that for you straight away, King. I've got around that range.
Yeah.
Here, no, I can tell you now, it's gone up. I know when I saw it the other day, I was like, Jesus, he's really come in hard. Don't say that sentence drunk. It'll sound really dirty. Bogdan Bogdanovic, Walker Kessler. Here he is. He's coming from 112. Down to 97.5, and now he's in the 94s. So he has come straight down into there, and I have not seen him in industry draft go later than 80. So to see that his ADP is 97, but in every single analyst in World Cup, I believe, in that draft room, in the 80s, he went off the board. I think World Cup is probably a really good – let's talk about it as a safe space, Kenny. Let me see if I can bring that back up, because I think in the World Cup – here we go. This is my World Cup data. Can I go Kessler? Let me go Kessler. I can tell you where he was. Can I find him? Or is it because he's drafted?
I'm fairly sure in the Roto World mock yesterday, only because heard it. I think he went in the 70s to maybe Dan Titus or something. But I think that's where he's going, Jesus. In the 70s.
Here we go. He went in the sixth round as the... Mm-hmm. Third pick. So this is in the 60s that he went.
Yeah.
So he went in the sixth round. Here we go. In the World Cup, is this all of his drafting? Oh my God, this is all. I can tell you, he has gone from October the 16th to today in the FBI World Cup is this. He has gone round 6, pick 3, round 7, pick 3, round 5, pick 6. So round 7, 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 round 7. So consensus now, if you want Walker Kessler, that's a round 7 pick. That's what exactly tells you. Like, there's no other way around it. When you're drafting in a league that deep, and that's the ADP data you're getting, it's probably the best indicator of if you want Walker Kessler, that's your seventh round pick. Done. So plan for that. That's the best advice we can give you there.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah, no, he looked good. Keontae George, I think, has looked good as well. Yep. Colin Sexton. It's been interesting. I think people sort of view Keontae George as their point guard and Colin Sexton as their two guard, but I think they're actually going to share that a little bit. I think there'll be moments, games, whatever, where Sexton actually handles the ball a little bit more and Keontae George plays off ball, which I think helps both of them.
I agree.
Yeah, I've taken Sexton in a few spots as well. I think he's a really nice, much like Scoot, but a more efficient version of Scoot. So a guy that you can take around pick 100 or 90 and he'll get you 18 to 19 points with 5 assists. That was always the sort of the negative when it came to Colin Sexton's game, was that he just couldn't get assists. But we saw last year that he's actually worked on that. So, yeah, I like Sexton this year.
I actually see it as a I call it young sex is how I view this one, because it's kind of like, remember the Sexland experience?
Yeah.
Darius Garland and Colin Sexton. I think that he knows that system. And I think Colin Sexton is playing that with the young guy, with Keontae George. It's like, that's exactly what he's doing. He's playing that off ball. It's almost like, you know, he looks very comfortable in that role, playing off Keontae, like he's done it before. And he has with Darius over in Cleveland. And he's bringing that skill set into the Jazz with this young bloke in Keontae George. And they're both looking really good and comfortable. Guys, that's pretty much, we've covered the Western Conference. Final thoughts, Kingy, before we get right into the action next week. Any last draft thoughts out there and shout-outs before we say see you later?
No, I will just shout-out, though. I got a message in our Discord today from Rashid, and I haven't responded to it yet. I saw it when I was out taking my daughter to tennis, but he said, he tagged me and said, "Are you in my division in the World Cup?" And he posted like a screenshot of someone's draft, and because it's some pretty heavy punting. So I think he looked at the team and assumed it was me, and it is not me. But I do love the dedication to the punt here, because the team is starting. They picked Giannis at 3. So there you go. There's something that I haven't seen. They took Giannis at 3. Mm-hmm. Evan Mobley in the second round, Jalen Johnson in the third round, Nick Claxton in the fourth, Walker Kessler in the fifth, OG Anunoby in the sixth, and Amen Thompson in the seventh. So
I'm going to tell you the name of that team right away, because if I just looked at that data, you said that's in the World Cup, right?
I would assume so, yeah.
The only pick 5 anomaly, what pick did you say? Round 5 pick what?
3.
That might be... Is the name of that team Panic at the Free Throw?
I don't know. He hasn't got the team name, but I would say there's a pretty good chance, because I don't think anyone else would take Walker Kessler in the fifth round.
I've got round 5 pick 6 here as Walker Kessler, and that's the only
round. Well, no, round, this is round 5 pick 3, so.
5, I can see. That's the only. No, well, I guess he's not in my division.
Yeah, no. I don't know. Yeah, what I mean, there's so many divisions. It's like 50 or something. So, But yeah, look, I respect that punt. Like
that's a hard punt. That's a hard punt. Well,
you're not winning points, threes, assists, or free throw percentage. It's basically exactly the punt that I did in that mock draft, where you're targeting rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage, turnovers, and steals.
Yeah, and that's all you need to get through to the end. Just win at 5-4, guys. Just win at 5-4. I guess shout out to all everyone at Insight. We also have a couple of spots left in Insight Leagues. If you want to be involved in one of our cash leagues, I think we only have 1 spot in one of our fan tracks and 3 spots left in one of our Yahoo leagues. Get on that one. Hit me up on DM or us at on X for Insight. Of course, and shout out to my friends over at World Cup who I'm drafting with, Raging Hardens, Grandmaster, KKMC, New Team 60, good job changing that name, mate. Dirty Harry, Massachusetts, Ball Up Top, SL Life, Macca, and exclamation Owok. I think it sounds like an Ewok noise. Owok. It's where I'm at every time I see him. Kingy, thanks very much, guys. We'll be back next Thursday night right here on The Crossover. Make sure you like and subscribe. Put the notifications on for all things FBI, basketball, international, and inside NBA. You can follow all of our links down below. Take care, everyone. We'll see you soon.